Good evening, and welcome to the second of two forums KCAW will be hosting on this month's special election in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey, KCAW News Director. Proposition 1, which is the only question on the ballot, is a citizen initiative to limit the amount of cruise visitation in Sitka and would impose both a daily limit and a seasonal cap and would create a permit system for cruise ships that would like to disembark passengers here. I'm joined this evening by representatives of Safeguard Sitka's Future, which is organized in opposition to the initiative, to hear their perspective on the issue. Last Tuesday evening at this time, I spoke with the two authors of the initiative to hear their views. You can listen to that conversation again on KCAW's special election hub, along with a public forum held at Harrigan Centennial Hall earlier this month. And you can also read a full copy of the ballot proposition language. Our special election hub is online at kcaw.org. If you have questions for our forum this evening, feel free to call 747-5877 or even better, email news@kcaw.org. Catherine Rose is here to relay questions into the air room. We're hoping for questions that haven't already been raised and answered in the extensive debate about this issue in social media. And we're hoping for more light than heat on the topic. Now to Teal West and Jeremy Plank. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
I wanted to just start by having you guys sort of introduce yourselves and talk about what you do and how you became interested in this issue.
I'm Teal West. I am the owner of the Sitka Lighthouse and the Sitka Lighthouse Company store. I was born and raised in Sitka, and I raised my children here. My parents moved to Sitka in 1979 as teachers, and they spent 30 years teaching in the district. And so when this initiative came forward, it became very important that my children had the opportunity to return to Sitka and have an economically viable future here in our community like I have. And so that's really how I became involved in Safeguard Sitka, and I really enjoy doing business in this town. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, Teal. Jeremy?
Yeah, my name is Jeremy Plank. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for Allen Marine. I moved here in 2017 from Anchorage, me, my wife, and my one son at that time. My wife is born and raised in Ketchikan, Alaska. And we used to spend all of our vacation time traveling up here and just enjoying the state up here. So we wanted to raise our boys in a place that was conducive with our lifestyle. And so we decided that Sitka was a place that we wanted to call home. So moved here as I said, to work with Allen Marine. Been with Allen Marine since 2017. And, 2 years ago, we had the Tourism Task Force. And it was kind of a ripe time for us to have some representation on that board and start having a say of what was going on in the community and trying to drive towards collaborative approach and help grow the economy in tourism and help the city with that with our expertise. So I got involved in the Tourism Task Force, and shortly after that, the Citizens Initiative started coming up, and so obviously started working with Chris McGraw and Safeguard Sitka trying to spread information and try to be as factual as possible, given information about what the impacts of the Citizens Initiative would be.
And Jeremy, you have a seat on the Tourism Commission now?
That's correct. I'm the chair of the Tourism Commission, but I'm not here in official capacity
right.
tonight.
But the Tourism Task Force was disbanded, and it sort of was, the Assembly reorganized it as the Tourism Commission on a permanent basis.
So, yes, that's correct. Yep.
So you're wading into everything tourism.
Absolutely.
Pretty regularly.
Yep, head first.
Right. But we're here to talk about Safeguard Sitka. I think a lot of people have seen the No on One signs and are curious to know about why the organization got behind the ball so quickly. I noticed, I'm sure everyone did, that there was a decline to sign campaign when the petition first began circulating. Why was it important for Safeguard to get out of the gate so early on this, do you think?
I think it was important that Safeguard get out there. You know, a lot of people have given us some criticism saying that we were trying to stop the democratic process, and that's never been the position that we've had. Safeguard Sitka believes that it's up to each and every individual to decide whether or not they wanted to sign that petition, and respectfully, if they want to vote for this ballot initiative now, that's absolutely everybody's choice, and that's part of the democratic process. we got involved very quickly because we knew that if people signed and this got onto the ballot proposition, it wasn't clear that the community understood that you were going to have to accept that initiative and the language that was in that initiative the way that it was. And we wanted to make sure that voters or signers at that time were informed, that they knew what the impacts of the community or what impacts would have on the community before they decided to sign on that. And we've just continued the exact same campaign all the way through, which is spreading the best information that we can find through different studies that are out throughout Southeast Alaska to try to provide the best information possible just to educate and inform the voters.
Teal, you're nodding.
Yes, I was thinking as Jeremy was talking that even someone like myself who's very involved in the industry, until I started attending meetings with Jeremy and the Safeguard Sitka group, there was about 10 of us. We've been meeting for 4 months, and the amount of information that we have researched, the understanding of the permitting process, the way it's written was very intensive. I have to say that I was a bit naive to the way that the cruise industry operates and the way that this permitting process would just completely make it impossible to reach that 300,000 number that keeps being reiterated. And so I just wanted to really touch on the fact that it was important to get out and get in front of this, if you will, with facts, because this is such a impactful initiative, and it's going to impact our community in such a great way that having facts really at the end of the day is all that we can offer the public. And that's what's most important to me.
Jeremy, I want to circle back to the task force for a moment, because Rich McClair, our interim general manager, one of our interim co-general managers at the time, was on the task force as well. So we heard a lot about what was going on, and we heard a lot about trying to find the magic number, right, this optimum number. And the task force never settled on it. So were you surprised to see the initiative authors come up with a number?
I wasn't surprised to see the initiative authors come up with a number. One of the things, as we looked at the data from the task force, because we spent, you know, a year and a half gathering data, doing different events and bringing people out and getting people's opinions. I think the thing that surprised me the most sitting on the task force was the divisiveness that you could see within the numbers. I remember, you know, some of the stuff that we saw in there, you know, you had 30% of the people that said we should have heavy restrictions on cruise ships, and you had 30% of the people that said we should have no restrictions on the cruise ships. And so either way you go, whatever decision the task force would have come down with, we were going to make, you know, half of the people in this town upset because we were going in a direction that they didn't want that to go. And so I think that led to the task force being very conservative with a number and trying to study more. One thing that was clear was that we needed more information and we needed some additional studying. If you look at what Juneau has done, they have economic impact studies. They have all the tourism studies on how people feel about, you know, visitation in that community. So those were the things that we were being asked to answer as a task force, but we didn't have those studies to fall back on. And so that really led to the overall tourism task force taking a very conservative approach on our recommendations, because we knew the potential for the economic harm and the liability issues that could be created as a result of trying to implement regulation.
All right. Again, I it's funny. I'm sort of having a little bit of, I want to say deja vu, because Rich would come back to the station and kind of relay a lot of exactly what you're saying, that there mm-hmm. were just certain uncertainties that were surrounding the task force that were kind of preventing them from pinning down something that we were all, you know, a number that may or may not even really exist. But anyway, we can come back to that. I'm speaking with Jeremy Plank and Teal West, who are representatives of Safeguard Sitka's Future. They are an organization in opposition to Prop 1, which we'll be voting on next Wednesday. If you'd like to put a question to them, the number is 747-5877 or email news@kcaw.org. And Catherine Rose will relay your question into the air room. And we're hoping for a question that might help you understand more about how these folks are approaching the issue. Something that I wanted to ask off of my list is that once it came to the signature stage, initiative supporters got fewer signatures than they wanted, but more than they needed to hold a special election. Did seeing the number of signatures in any way sort of affect how Safeguard would approach its messaging once the signatures were in and you knew that, you know, nearly 700 people had signed it?
I didn't care if it was 8 signatures or 800 signatures. The message has always stayed the same. And with Safeguard, what I've really been so proud of what the group has done is we just keep going back to research, facts, data, studies, you know, CETA reports, state reports, anything you can think of, McKinley reports. If you name it, we've read them. And so we didn't really have a conversation like that in our meetings. The conversation was always, what is the best and most accurate information that we can portray to the citizens of Sitka? And that's what has really, I think, been a really proud moment for me during this election, or proud moments for me is, you know, every time we go back to the facts, it reminds me why I joined Safeguard. And I'm proud of that we've done such a good job getting that out there to the public. So they can make an educated vote.
Let's go over some of Safeguard's main objections to the initiative. What are the most significant harms in your views?
I think the most significant harm has to be, you know, the economic. And I've heard some criticism lately of people talking about the fact that we only focus on the economic. And that, while there's a little bit of truth to that, that is because the economic is the most impactful. As we've done our research and our analysis, you know, our analysis involves studying businesses. We got transactions for, you know, over 15 different local tour operators. We got a bunch of information from a bunch of local business stores. We started seeing trends that without the ships that are precluded from coming to this community in this initiative, those stores, those local tour operators, they go out of business. I know from the Tourism Task Force, you know, when we were doing our town halls, we saw that there were over 600 businesses that were created in a very short amount of time between 2021 and 2023. Most of those businesses operate in the tourism space. Without the ships that we're talking about not being able to come immediately precluded, just being over the 4,500 cap, those businesses cease to exist. And those businesses are made up of people that are their school teachers, that are retirees, that are kids. I mean, we've seen studies from Sitka High School where 75% of our students work in tourism. You know, you have a wide breadth of people within this community that are going to be financially impacted to the point to where they might have to leave this community. And that's what we're hearing from people. And that's the message we're trying to get out to people is these are our friends, these are our neighbors. And, you know, we're looking out for the economic benefit of those people. And then, you know, as Teal mentioned earlier, you know, I've got kids. I want my kids to be able to live in this community, but there has to be a certain amount of opportunity for them to be able to stay in this community. So that's why our focus has really been on the economic. We're not trying to sugarcoat the fact that there are some impacts, but that's really where the Tourism Commission has come in, and the Tourism Commission's working on things like the TBMP program. You know, we just had a meeting not too long ago about e-bikes, and, you know, so we're trying to tackle those issues and come up with solutions on those issues. They take a little bit of time. There's tons of jurisdictional issues within the city with how the city's shaped and formed, and it takes a little bit of time, but I think every year we're getting a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't doubt that there's been sort of rapid capitalization in the tourism sector that kind of parallels the growth in the number of passengers, but is it really, do you think there are really businesses who might have to shut down and leave if it were basically cut in half? I mean, we're going from 585 was what it was last year to 300,000. Are there people who are not going to make it if that reduction happened?
Absolutely. I'll talk about the tour operators. You know, if you look at the days that we have our big Royal Caribbean ships and our big Norwegian ships, those are the ships that are blocked. Those are also the ships. Those make up over 70% of their annual sales. So, you know, ask yourself, if you're a business, could you live on 30% of your revenue? Can you still employ your employees with 30% of your revenue? And, you know, to the most of them, that's no. We saw from Fortress of the Bears, they were talking about how difficult it was for them to operate their business in the month of April because they didn't have a steady flow of cruise ships, and they only had cruise ships 1 or 2 days a week, and they're like, we can't employ our employees with 1 or 2 days a week. But that's potentially what we go back to, with the numbers dropping significantly.
Teal, what are your thoughts on the most significant harms?
Well, I have to go back to the economics behind this. To add to Jeremy's point, I am the president of the Sitka Local Merchants Association, which was formed because we as merchants thought that it was very important to have representation on Lincoln Street and in the surrounding business district in regards to this initiative. And something that has come forth in conversations that we've been having that was very fascinating to me was there are retailers on Lincoln Street that have been in business for 30 years that have expressed that they could go out of business, but that they would be cutting their full-time staff by at least 50%. They would be going seasonal, so they would have to operate in those summer months only, so year-round downtown retailers, would cease to exist possibly. And so hearing that from a longtime retailer's perspective was very concerning, because then I started looking around and I said, okay, that retailer just opened in the last year. That retailer just opened in the last 3 years. Okay, there's 10 retailers, maybe even 15 that have opened in the last 3 years. You can consider those businesses bankrupt. And they've expressed that as well. And so anything that jeopardizes that amount of businesses in our business district in Sitka, that does create the biggest impact, in my opinion, for our community. And I also want to just touch on the point that, cities that struggle economically, it's proven that a city that's struggling economically, their citizens reflect that as well. So if your community and your citizens can't pay their bills, or they're struggling to feed their kids, or maybe that second job goes away because they were working in tourism, that does not create a happy and thriving community. And so I would just really like to make the point that while, yes, I do recognize a lot of those inconveniences, the congestion issues, and the uncomfortability with possibly having Lincoln Street closed, those types of issues do not hold as great of weight for me as our citizens not being able to live here in a healthy way and being able to support their kids and themselves.
All right. I'm speaking with Teal West and Jeremy Plank. They're representatives of Safeguard Sitka. They're available to answer your questions. If you have one, 747-5877 or email news@kcaw.org, and I'll put it to them. What you were saying, Teal, was sort of reminding me about a commentary we had on KCAW this morning, where the commenter talked about growing pains that we are experiencing with tourism. That's sort of part one. Would you agree that we're experiencing sort of growing pains?
Of course. Yeah. Yes, I do.
And then the second thing he mentioned was that there are unintended consequences that we might not realize. Do you think the Safeguard feel that there are unintended consequences of the success of Prop 1 that we might not be talking about at all much right now?
Absolutely. There's definitely some unintended consequences. And I listened to that this morning, and a lot of that was talking about things from an economic standpoint. But I go back to certain things. One of the things I was thinking about was community sentiment. Back in the early 2010, 2014 era, we were talking about a head tax. We were talking about building a cruise ship dock out front. That didn't get to a vote or got voted down, and that didn't end up happening. But that community sentiment sent a signal to the cruise lines that they weren't welcome here. And we saw our numbers plummet from over 200,000 to, about 90,000 immediately for that. So what we're seeing now is a culmination of a decade of building that back up. So that was a ripple effect that lasted a decade before we were able to get that industry back. So making a decision now, the thought that this is going to turn around and we can flip a switch and bring those people back, that's not the case. It's going to take years and years and years to try to bring that back. The other thing I think about that nobody's really talking about is the liability that gets created on the city for this. You know, if you look at Bar Harbor is being sued by dozens of businesses, and there's new suits being filed every day. We reached out to the city manager at Bar Harbor, and the city spent over $1.5 million in legal defense right now, and it's got two cases in the First Circuit Court of Appeals. So those are all things that the city is going to have to figure out how to fund at a time when the city is losing its revenue from sales tax, which is substantial from cruise ship tourism. And there's other downstream liabilities that are created for the city as far as eminent domain issues and stuff like that will be created if this initiative passes through ordinance, which is exactly why the Tourism Task Force said, let's do this through an MOU.
So it's more than just a feeling about quality of life versus economics. It's actually, there's potential litigation in Sitka's future, you feel, if it passed?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question. You're talking hundreds of businesses that potentially have their doors shut because of this. That's the only recourse that they're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, you talked about rebuilding cruise tourism pre-pandemic. I wanted to, you might have insights on this since you work with Allen Marine, but they talk about the post-pandemic rebound. Mm-hmm. Is that growth steady and upwards? Is it going to level out? Is it going to decline? I mean, I think everyone agrees it's rebounded heavily in Sitka and in other ports in Southeast Alaska. Is this mm-hmm. something that the industry can sustain, or are we going to see sort of a natural decline or leveling in numbers? What's your sense of it, Teal?
Well, we've seen a leveling out in the numbers. We're actually lower this year than we were last year. And as far as this trajectory of just a continual increase, that's not what we're seeing. The MOU between Chris and the city is also preventing that. So we have, and Jeremy can talk a little bit more about the MOU, but we've got no ship Saturdays, and we've also got a cap at 7,000. So that automatically decreases the numbers. But we saw about a 50,000 decrease since last year. What were those exact numbers, Jeremy?
It's not that much. Actually, this year we have a slight increase this year over last year. Lower berth was 585 last year and 600,000 this year.
But okay.
Next year it's actually supposed to dip
Sorry,
down.
Next year it goes down.
Yeah, it goes down. So
my apologies.
We've reached kind of a natural plateau mm-hmm. where the industry can't grow with the infrastructure that we have in place. Chris has made that very clear that, you know, with his berthing policy and what the capacities of his dock are, that's where he's at. As we look regionally, we've seen this massive growth spurt happen in Juneau. We've seen it happen in Skagway and Ketchikan, and all of those communities are reaching a point where their infrastructure is limiting their growth. And I think what we're going to see is continued growth in tourism, but maybe in different areas. You have communities like Klowok that just put in a cruise ship dock. You've got Huna building a new cruise ship dock. You've got Wrangell that wants to get into the big ships. And so I think you're going to see growth of tourism happen in other communities. And those communities are soliciting ships, and that's exactly relevant to what we're dealing with right now, because if we tell those ships that we don't want those ships here, they're going to go to other communities, because those communities are easier for them to get to anyways than Sitka. Those communities have arms wide open. And so I think it's those communities that will see the growth in the future years.
Okay. We believe it or not, we're down to our last couple of minutes.
Oh, wow.
It does go fast.
That did go fast.
I warned you. We have a caller who asks, as a multi-generational Sitkan, what reassurance can I have on the MOU cap with the next assembly if they revisit it? I guess the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, is an agreement between the current government and Chris McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
This caller wants to know, is there any reassurance that subsequent assemblies would honor it?
That's a great question. That's a political question based on who's composed of that assembly. I mean, I think that goes both ways. I mean, you could have an assembly that agrees to increase the number. You could have an assembly that agrees to decrease the number. It really kind of goes both ways. But one thing that it does do is it puts it into the public transparent process where the community can collaborate and give their opinion and come and make sure that, you know, everybody knows exactly where the community stands. And that's one of the things, the citizens that wrote this initiative, that's not a collaborative process. The Tourism Task Force and Tourism Commission, they're working on a collaborative process to make things happen. And this was written with a small group of people.
All right. Well, believe it or not, that's all the time we have tonight. I'd like to thank Teal West and Jeremy Plank for coming tonight. They represent Safeguard Sitka's Future, which has organized an opposition to Prop 1. The question will be decided in a special election next Wednesday, May 28th, in Sitka. Polls will be open on Election Day at the usual time, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Early voting is available now, weekdays, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., also at Harrigan. You can also cast an early ballot this Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. You can listen to this forum again on our website, kcaw.org, or on the new KCAW app. Look for the KCAW Special Election Hub in either place. You can also listen to our conversation last Tuesday with the authors of Prop 1 and listen to the May 6th Town Hall at Harrigan Centennial Hall, plus find a full copy of the proposition language. I want to thank KCAW's Catherine Rose for working behind the scenes this evening and for her extensive reporting on this issue. I'm Robert Woolsey, KCAW News Director. Thanks for joining us tonight. Stay tuned for Sunset Symphony with Trish. Thank you.